The following is rated R. It contains violence, adult language, nudity, and adult content.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. It's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday, October 25th, 2020, and thanks for joining us for the Fear the Walking Dead online viewing party here on blogtalkradio.com. I am host Casey Shapiro, and special thanks to our host and sponsor, NDB Media. Had a little trouble getting onto the website tonight. There's been some kind of warning message that there's a lot of traffic associated with it. And I'm like, well, yes, it's internet radio and people want to call in and hear it. So if you would please shut up and go away, we'd like to do that now. But anyway, I am here and I noticed that Joan has just valiantly fought her way in and probably had the same kind of fuckery that I did trying to log on here. So I'm going to give her some big applause for having showed up tonight. Yeah, alrighty. So, tonight's show contains spoilers up through the last episode and possible information from current AMC official Walking Dead promo materials, as usual. We are in a Fear and World Beyond doubleheader season through at least Thanksgiving, but yes, those of you good at math, numbers of episodes don't neatly line up with each other. So we will keep you posted how this wraps up at the mid-season finale, as soon as we figure it out, as soon as they tell us. Okay, welcome to the doubleheader of Season 6, Episode 3 of Fear, which is called Alaska, and Episode 4, pardon me, I have a typo in there, it says 34, I didn't delete 3, please forgive me. Season 1, Episode 4 of World Beyond, which is called The Wrong End of a Telescope. Season 6 of Fear will adhere to the split season tradition, airing episodes 1 through 7 from tonight through November 22nd. Episode 8 is rumored to run Thanksgiving weekend, but this still has yet to be officially confirmed. The back half premiere dates have also yet not been announced. So for now, I'm operating on the assumption based on past tradition that the back half of Fear and possibly The Walking Dead season 11 or those six extra episodes for season 10 are probably either going to come up in February or April of 2021. And likely again doing some kind of doubleheader with one of the other shows. I don't really know how it's all going to work yet, and I have no idea how Season 2 of World Beyond fits into any of this. I know they won't go to Season 2 until 2021. There's not a lot left of 2020, so I guess they'll figure that out at some point. More power to them. Okay. And don't forget, in 2022, there is a fourth series coming, a spinoff series fronted by characters Carol and Daryl, which, of course, spoils publicly that they made it out of at least season 10, if not 11. The untitled fourth series will be an episodic roadshow-style story. There's some rumor that maybe backstories on some characters that we never got. For example, the Texas group, the original Texas group, Rosita, Abraham, and Eugene, and possibly how they might fit into Fear and some other stuff going on. Because as I have posited several weeks now, I think everything is going to get squished together, and that's part of what's been taking them so long. All right. Please note that since tonight's show is a double feature, we will run this show longer than normal, ending just before 11 p.m. And any given week, we may end our show early if another show immediately follows us, which has happened a couple times in the past couple weeks. Also, we're going to be tweaking our trivia and other segments since we launch straight from Fear into World Beyond without a half-hour discussion time beforehand. We'll keep our listeners informed as we go. By the way, remember The Talking Dead will not air again until November 22nd. I'm going to check the chat room, see how Joan is doing. She seems fine, not too chatty right yet. I imagine we've both been scrambling just to get on here. So, anyhow, alrighty. So typically we start this show a half hour before the new episode airs live each week with recap from previous episodes and discussion of what has come tonight. At 9 p.m. we go dark or mute, and watch the new episode together, and we give episode ratings from 1 to 10 and commentary during the commercial breaks. We will also give our listeners trivia on the show, as well as the cast and crew, including bios, birthdays, and more stuff like that. Our show is spoiler and comic free, so please do not talk about spoilers or the comics in the chat or on the air. So we prefer our discussions, reactions, and comments to be just about what we know from the show that's actually presented to us. Call in to speak with the host if you would like at 914-338-0314 at any time, but especially between 8:30 and 9 p.m. if you can. You have about roughly 22 minutes before we go dark. If you call during the live episode after 9 p.m., you will be screened and muted until the commercial break where we can chat on the air. If the phones are not your thing, feel free to join us at any point in our live chat room. We will be able to listen to the show real time as well as download the episode after the fact. And we do post a link for that on our Facebook page and occasionally on my social media. I did not get to do that tonight because I was a little rushed and I wanted to make sure I had some dinner available to me before we got going because I know we have a doubleheader and Kitty is hungry. Okay. So if you're unable to join us in real time tonight, you can still go back to that link later on and download the broadcast as an MP3 podcast for later listening. Just go to the link again, look at the top right of the page, and click on the cloud-shaped white icon for downloading. Alrighty, tonight's episode of Fear is entitled Alaska. And the official AMC synopsis is Al and Dwight go rogue on a recon mission for Ginny to follow a lead thought lost, but Al must choose between what she has now and what she's chasing. And as I traditionally do, I have an additional synopsis, extended synopsis for you guys. This particular one happens to address both shows. So it is a synopsis that covers both Fear and World Beyond. This is, I'm trying to pause it real quick so the little video on the page stops running. This is from comicbook.com, one of our regular sources for material that I like to share with you guys. So I'm their regular writer about the show, Brandon Davis. And is Fear the Walking Dead, World Beyond, new episodes previewed. And Brandon says, Fear the Walking Dead and The Walking Dead World Beyond will air new episodes on Sunday night. Fear the Walking Dead will be airing the third episode of the sixth season, with The Walking Dead World Beyond airing the fourth episode of its first season. Fear the Walking Dead has been on a roll in its sixth season, bouncing back from two lackluster years, yeah, guys, with some strong episodes which have been earning an abundant level of praise. I think that's a little early, Brandon, but I do see where you're going with it. It's definitely an improvement. I'll give it that. Sunday's episode is no exception, meaning tonight, offering a powerful surprise for some longtime fans of the franchise and continuing to grow its characters in interesting directions. Fear the Walking Dead episode 6-3 is titled Alaska. Official synopsis I've already read you. The new episode, I'm not going to give you the writer and director because we do that in a bit on our own anyway. Walking Dead World Beyond title and synopsis and writer and director, and we're just going to skip all that because we do that in our own format. This is important, very, very important here. Following Sunday night's episode of Fear, a full interview with the show's Dwight actor, the actor who plays Dwight, actor Austin Emilio, will be posted on comicbook.com/The Walking Dead, one big word, taking a deep dive into the character's return in season 6. Quote, the anthology format is what I think feels more fresh because you get one or two characters per episode. And when he says anthology format, he means those ones where it's not like 15 different characters doing things. It focuses on a tiny group or one particular person. Okay. And going back to the quote, you sort of really get to dive into their history and it gives you time to sort of be in the relationship and be with the characters instead of hopping from one person to the next. Amelia said of season 6 working so well. Quote, so I think that's what the anthology series does, at least for me. That's the feeling I get. Okay, and that is the end of that extended synopsis. And Joan says she doesn't know about, quote, abundant levels of praise, but she will agree, as did I, that they are marginally better on Fear so far this season. I think they are starting to learn their lesson that the new showrunners really didn't understand what we're looking for. I think that was super big, and they weren't listening for a while, but perhaps now they are, and they're trying to rescue it. So hopefully that will continue. That is the end of the synopsis, so let me go to writers and directors' profiles. It's 8:42. I'll try to get out what I can when I can. Okay, so for Fear, so we'll have to do one of these for each show. Fear's episode is written by Mallory Westfall and directed by Fear cast member Coleman Domingo. All right, here's the profile. Mallory Westfall got a BFA in film and television from NYU back in 2010. Westfall has 5 miscellaneous crew credits since 2010 and 4 writer's credits since 2011. She was a PA, personal assistant, on The Secret Circle, or producer's assistant, I guess. I'm not sure what it stands for right now. Joan, if you feel like looking that up for me, what is PA usually when you're doing movies? On The Secret Circle, Season 1, 2012. On Supernatural, Season 8, 2012. And both a PA and writer's assistant for Perception from 2012 to 2015 for 39 episodes. She has regularly written for the sci-fi series Channel Zero, Siffy, writing 5 episodes between 2016 to 2018. Mallory was nominated for Tisch's at USC Oliver Stone Screenwriting Award with her script Begotten. She is currently a Writers Guild of America West member. She's currently producing a TV pilot for 2021 for a new series based on the Chucky doll from Child's Play. It's just called Chucky. But I wanted to explain to you guys that, yes, that means what you think it means. She has been an executive story editor on AMC's Fear the Walking Dead for 16 episodes since Season 5, Episode 1, Here to Help in 2019. Tonight is Westfall's 3rd time writing for the Walking Dead franchise, all on Fear. The first one being writing Season 5, Episode 6, The Little Prince. That was hers. And the second one was Season 5, Episode 11, You're Still Here. All right, that's Mallory. Coleman Jason Domingo was born in Philadelphia. His father is from Belize, and his family is from Guatemala. Not much is publicly known about his mother. I found it interesting that in his bios there's quite a bit about his dad, but not his mother, and no mention of why not. So I don't really know what's up. Maybe I'll find something out later on and then I can share that with you guys, because I am actually really interested, but I don't know. If you remember last week when we were profiling Lenny James, sometimes these stories are painful, and that may be why they're not really detailed. But I digress. So Domingo attended Overbrook High School and then later Temple University, where he majored in journalism. Soon thereafter, he moved to San Francisco, where he started acting, mainly in theater productions. He is a theater stage person. He was ordained a minister, by the way, by the non-denominational Universal Life Church. Funnily, so was I, but I haven't done anything with it. On the July 9th, 2017 episode of Talking Dead, Coleman revealed that he had spent time as an aerial performer in a traveling circus. According to Coleman, on the September 17th, of Fear the Walking Dead, he had stated that he went to high school with Will Smith. I don't know why it says that as an episode of Fear. It would make sense if it was Talking Dead, but that wasn't what it said. So I don't know if this was commentary during the show or not really clear. But it is, pardon me, in his IMDb that he did get a high school with Will Smith. He has a prolific career so far in stage acting, musical theater, and dance. Just as a stage actor, he received 8 awards of various types from 97 through 2017. He was additionally nominated for another 14 awards, starting in 2010 with his solo biographical show, A Boy and His Soul, presented off-Broadway at the Vineyard Theater. He also has multiple stage writer credits. As a stage actor, he has over 50 credits from 1995 to 2014. As a film actor, he has over 30 credits between 1995 to 2018. Over 20 credits for television work, including his role as Victor Strand in Fear the Walking Dead since season 1. As a director, he has 12 credits for stage shows from 98 to 2017, and a 13th for television with directing tonight's episode of Fear the Walking Dead, which is his first work for the franchise outside of his role as Strand. In 2018, Domingo joined the Directors Guild of America as the director, under the auspices of, because he was the director of episode 12 of season 4 of Fear, which was the episode Week. At that time, this has since been not true anymore. He was the first ever actor in the Walking Dead franchise to helm an episode. He did not act in his first directed episode. In 2020, Coleman inked a first look deal with AMC Networks. Coleman Domingo has been actively part of the Fear the Walking Dead cast since the end of season 1, but has branched out. He directed season 4, episode 12, Week, season 5, episode 3, Humbug's Gulch, and tonight's episode makes his third time directing within the franchise. Coleman has been passing some of his time during the 2020 quarantine by making a side series of videos with AMC called Bottomless Brunch at Coleman's, where Coleman Domingo invites friends into his home for a virtual Sunday brunch that includes cocktails, food, and conversation. By the way, you can see these episodes on both AMC's website and on YouTube. And I've actually made myself a little personal YouTube playlist with many of the episodes on there. I don't think it's all of them, but it's most of them that are on YouTube, because I love to listen to him talk with his friends, and I find it very soothing if I want to have somebody talking when I'm trying to get asleep and I'm sort of feeling like I need some company. So that's a fabulous little show. All right, let's give them some applause. Thank you guys for listening to the show. Oh, Joan had missed what I was asking her to look up. The abbreviation PA, is it producer's assistant, production assistant? And by that I mean in the context of working on movies and TV. I spazzed and could not remember what it stood for, and so I said something dorky. So if you could please clean me up, I would very much appreciate it. If you don't have time, that's cool. It's 8:49, so let's continue down to trivia. Tonight's episode is the 72nd episode of Fear overall. Special guest star tonight, and y'all knew this was coming, but yes, it officially starts tonight. Christine Evangelista as Sherry is back. Co-stars. Here is another very interesting turn of events. I don't know anything about why this went on, but so Sydney, S-Y-D-N-E-Y, Lemon with two M's, as Isabel, Al's friend from CRM, is a co-star tonight. Please note, that actress's name is not familiar to you because in all previous appearances of Isabel in season 5, the actress was unnamed until tonight. I do not know why, because she certainly had like a whole episode to herself. And Joan, I think you will remember this. I bitched about that fact, that she had enough work that I felt justified her getting cookies. So I don't know why they didn't name her till now, but that's who the actress is, Sydney Lemon. And hopefully we'll have some fun with Sydney and Al. And maybe that has to do with their little sojourn on the side that they're doing. Okay, uncredited people tonight, and I don't know why this is uncredited. This is kind of weird. They've listed unknown as Morgan because he wasn't credited on the episode, and he should have been, and this is all weird. We know damn well that Lenny James plays him. Okay, unknown actors, they're not only uncredited, but we don't even have names for the actors at all, not even apart from the show. Okay. The following people, Ground Command, voice only, Randall Perez, Sullivan Daniels, Mark Smith, and Michael Jenkins. Deaths will be announced later. Trivia, first appearance of the character Nora. There is no description of what Nora does. And she's played by actress Devin Tyler, D-E-V-Y-N, Tyler. First appearance of Lee Perez. Randall Perez, Sullivan Daniels, Mark Smith, Michael Jenkins, first appearance in Fear continuity of Sherry physically. We know there was a voiceover in the past when she's reading her little notes that she wrote to Dwight. Also, Sydney Lemon is downgraded from also starring to co-star in this episode. This is likely due to the fact that only her voice is heard. So I guess we'll hear only the voice tonight of Isabel. Episode 3 last week of World Beyond. No, excuse me. We are still on Fear. That's my bad. Sorry. Welcome to the Club is the last episode from last week, and that would be episode 2 of Fear. Co-stars are listed as Damon Carney as Walter, Craig Nye as Hill, Joseph Castillo Midyet as Cigarette Man. These might be still listed from last week. This is stuff left over from before. Uncredited characters, unknown as Morgan, meaning the baby girl named after him. She's the second infant in the Fear series to be born after the outbreak, first being Victor. I have to be honest with you guys, I think it is possible that I did not properly save notes for last week's episode. I think this is from 2 weeks ago, and I really apologize. I was scrambling today. So please forgive my sloppiness, and hopefully we can get past that. You guys know basically what happened. We do have new deaths. These are new notes. Worker 1, Worker 2, these were the people that were going after the garage door with all the goop coming out of it, and they were trying to go after the walkers. Jeb, Ben, Adrienne, Sanjay, and 4 unnamed pioneers. First appearance of the characters Marcus, Cameron, Dakota. First and last of Jeb, first and last of Ben, Adrienne, and Sanjay. And first appearance of the script location, Lawton, Oklahoma, which we explained last week. Additional trivia. The title of this episode, Welcome to the Club, refers to the phrase Hill said when welcoming Strand into the Pioneers' ranks. You know, with that little badgy thing they gave him. Interestingly, originally the title of this episode was going to be Let Strand Be Strand. I have no notes on why it changed. Craig Nye, who plays Hill, is upgraded from co-star to also starring in this episode. Despite the bearded man and the Asian woman having speaking lines in the beginning of the episode, as well as 3 other extras later in the episode, all characters were left uncredited, and those were the people that I named earlier. Victor, wearing the number 24 on his prison jumpsuit when he was there last week, was actually a deliberate tribute to Kobe Bryant, who died earlier in the year. Goof's Errors bloopers from last episode. After clearing out the undead, the workers venture inside the warehouse where there is no spilled molasses or blood to be seen, despite the constant mess oozing from the warehouse door. I did notice that, and I found that to be super peculiar, and I forgot to kind of whine about it, I guess. All right, 8:55, let's do birthdays and music. Okay, cast birthdays this week. Well, this is kind of nice. Sherry's making her comeback on her birthday week. So Christine Evangelist plays Sherry, Dwight's wife. Her birthday is October 27th. In 2 days, she's from Staten Island. And Sydney Park, who plays Cindy from Oceanside, her birthday's on Halloween, and she's a Philly girl. So let's give them some big birthday love. Yay! And additionally, Joan has come through with my abbreviation snafu. So according to Google PA's production assistant, and I apologize for messing that up earlier, I do act, and I ought to know that, but I was really rushed today. And I'm kind of feeling it with these double episodes because I've got to do the same work twice. So it's production assistant, and she apologizes. Her son was talking to her the first time, but she got it for me. And I appreciate that. Joan's always really good about being helpful with the trivia and other miscellaneous notes while I'm on the air and not paying attention to things. Okay, there was no featured music declared from episode 1 or last week. No, not episode 1, episode 2. But somehow I feel like that's wrong. I think somebody just didn't catch what song it was. So no song identified. But I know there was a couple things of music that were in there. Maybe somebody will find them later. I don't know. Unaccounted characters, I'm not doing this part anymore because it kind of just seems to be tilting at windmills. Talking Dead, as mentioned earlier, is not on again until the 22nd, so I have no couch for you guys. 8:57, let's try to do the rest of the lineup if we can. Remaining episodes, number 4 is The Key. Directors Ron Underwood, writer David Leslie Johnson, November 1st. Number 5 is Honey. Director Sharat Raju. Writers Ashley Cardiff, November 8th. 6 is Bury Her Next to Jasper's Leg, Tania McKiernan. Writers Alex Delisle, November 15th. And number 7, Damage from the Inside, no director named. Writers Jacob Pinion, November 22nd. There is an episode 8. I do not know if it's going to air Thanksgiving weekend. I am assuming it is, but for reasons we haven't heard, I continue to be worried that the reason for that is that they didn't get to complete production on it like we had problems with Walking Dead Classic in the last episode. All right, so those are all of my notes for Fear. We're going to go from Fear straight into World Beyond. So I will go ahead and read these notes real quick. I'm going to continue with the trivia for World Beyond early because we won't be able to do it when the show starts. So I will appreciate it if you guys are able to stay with us through Fear up to 10 p.m. when The Walking Dead World Beyond starts. Tonight's episode will be Season 1, Episode 4, The Wrong End of a Telescope. And the synopsis from AMC is the group seeks shelter from a storm inside an abandoned high school. While resupplying, they imagine what high school life was once like and encounter new threats, both living and dead. All right, it's 8:59. And Daniel's talking, and this is kind of fun, so I'm going to shut up and let y'all watch it, and I'll see you guys at break number 1. Okay, guys, it's 9:04, and we are at our first break. Let's go ahead and get those scores up. I am actually going with a 5-5. And Jonah's starting with a 5. That is fine. So one of the first weird things in this scene that just happened, you know, Morgan is back talking with the lady that just had a baby that named her daughter after him. And he was out front with some tools and stuff that you use to do things to wood. And it looked like he was carving up his walking stick into certain pieces. So I know that last week there was a huge kerfluffle about whether or not he was going to keep the walking stick and just add the axe to his arsenal. So I guess the answer is maybe not. It kind of looks like the axe is axed. So he was cutting the fancy stick into pieces about 6 inches long. It really did look like his walking stick, so that's my assumption. And Joan seems to think I might be onto something, so we'll see about that. But those are our scores. Let me go back to my notes and see what else I can get out for you guys. Okay, World Beyond tonight is written by Sinead Daly and directed by Rachel Leiterman, L-E-I-T-E-R-M-A-N. And Sinead does not have an accent on her name. And I mention this because if you go to IMDb to look up anything about her, there is an actress with that name who does have an accent who is not her. It is not unique enough a name in the IMDb database, so we have to be careful. There are actually 3 of them. So we have a Google commercial. We have a trailer thingy for World Beyond, so we probably won't be on long. I'm going to start Sinead's profile, but I may have to come back to it. Sinead Daly is a writer and producer known for Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency in 2016, The Walking Dead World Beyond 2020, and The Get Down in 2016. Nothing is known about her personal life, but we are back, and so I'll tell you guys the rest at the second break. Thank you. Okay, guys, it's 9:15 now, and we are at break number 2. So let's go ahead and get some scores up, and Joan is staying with her 5. willing to go up a tiny bit. Pardon my hiccups. I'm sorry. I'm going to go up to 575. Joan's going to give me that sacrilege face. I'm going to go back to comments that I don't think we covered. Yes. Joan agrees with me that she thinks that Morgan in the previous scene was carving up his sacred stick. Although, as you and I both remember, because I asked for your help looking this up before, that's not the original. So honestly, after that, it's okay, because the original is already compromised. Joan agrees with me from earlier. She's not convinced that the writers have actually listened to the audience just yet. They may still be trying to tell the story they want, and by that we mean forced on us. And they just happen to stumble on better story by accident. She's going to reserve judgment for the moment. I agree with her. I had mentioned in the previous scene when they're digging around in the funeral home, there is a very well-coiffed and well-dressed lady that chases Al around in the back. And for those of you who are pretty big zombie genre fans, you know that Tom Savini did a remake of Romero and Russo's original Night of the Living Dead, and Savini's was in 90. And he redid some things about some of the characters. It was very well done. But the mom in the Savini remake in 90 really looks like that lady that was jumping on Al in the back. And I happen to know, and I've told you guys about this trivia, that the special effects guys have done homage zombies, pan zombies. You know, they did stuff that was supposed to deliberately resemble an iconic zombie known in the genre from other films, usually Romero stuff, but also like Shaun of the Dead, there was one, and so on and so forth. So I think this is the mom from Night of the Living Dead remake, Romero slash Savini zombie. Okay. Jonah says, this lovesick shit is getting old. Get back to planning how to kill Jenny already. Yeah, I agree with you. But we do know that Sherry's going to be part of the plot tonight, not just a voice. So I just want this to get over with. You know, if Sherry and Dwight had a relationship like I had had with my spouse, I could see the obsession. But they're really kind of twisted and broken, so I'm not feeling it. I don't really know what to think. All right, let me see. It's 9:18. Let me see if I can squeeze in. There's a skosh more notes, but we don't have too much time because we're in a trailer. So we're doing Sinead Daly's profile. Nothing is really known about her personal life. She's a member of Writers Guild of America East. Sinead has 3 acting credits, including an episode of NYPD Blue back in 2004. She has 2 producer's credits, TV series Dirty John in 2018 and 19, and as producer for Walking Dead World Beyond for season 1. And no, we're not back yet, so I can keep going. She has 7 writer's credits, including World Beyond. Her first was Blue Bloods in 2014. She also wrote several episodes of The Get Down in 2016 and Dirk Gently's Holistic Detective Agency in 2017. Writing tonight's episode is her first work anywhere in the Walking Dead franchise. And we are back. See you at break number 3. Okay, guys, 9:26, we're at break number 3, I believe, and I'm actually going to go up to 6 on this one. Kind of feeling it. I know Joan is iffy, and that's okay. We're allowed to disagree or have other opinions. Going back to the comments, Joan earlier had said, she was fussing about them being lovesick, yeah. And by lovesick, she means why can't they be missing the love and still be the tough, survival-minded characters that they were before the current writers got a hold of them. Not so much the writers, because there's different writers every week, but this is the showrunners that are making this be a thing. This location happens to be where that submarine was, where they wrote graffiti on it a couple of episodes ago. So it's interesting how this is coming together. Joan says this looks like a crossover with World Beyond, the end of the beginning, writing on the wall so soon. Honestly, I believe all of the shows are going to cross over and get into the movies with Rick if they're even able to still do that. And here's the other thing. It's possible with quarantine that that entire schedule has been destroyed. So maybe this is them trying to salvage what they've got left, because I don't know that they're in a position to make giant movies right now. So I've given it a 6. Those characters in the last thing were Lee and Nora that I mentioned earlier. And Jones has 5-5, and she's super reluctant. But only for the new people. Not impressed with Al at the moment. And you know I'm not either. I'm really kind of tired of Al being lovesick over Isabel. I mean, Isabel is cool and all, but there's this sort of ooh-perfect person thing going on that I honestly am not feeling, Al. So, you know, I know it's your girl, and I don't have to feel anything, but whatever. Right. Going back to my notes, while I can squeeze something in for a hot minute, let's see where we left off. Oh, profiles. Director's profile, Rachel Leiterman, DGA/DGC. I don't know what they stand for. I got this from her personal website, professional website. Is a television director. Her credits include Amazon's critically acclaimed The Man in the High Castle, Netflix's The Order, Siren, Fast Lane, and the Vancouver-based police thriller Motive, NBC Universal. Prior to this, Rachel worked as an award-winning first assistant director on film and television. She has over 20 years of experience in film and TV as an award-winning first assistant director and most recently as director. Her directing credits include her directing credits include Amazon's critically acclaimed The Man in the High Castle, NBC's New Amsterdam, and Apple TV's upcoming Swagger. Rachel won the Directors Guild of America 2016 DGA Award. Oh, that must be what that is, Directors Guild of America, and DGC maybe Canada, since she does work in Vancouver. Award for Outstanding Directorial Achievement in Children's Programs for Descendants in 2015. And she shared this award with Kenny Ortega. As a daughter of acclaimed cinematographer Richard Leiterman, Rachel grew up on film sets where her passion for photography, film, and storytelling blossomed early. And I'm going to pause here because we are back. See you at break number 4. 9:35, we're at break number 4. Jones still at 5-5, and I'm still at 6. Joan has mentioned in comments in the last couple minutes, but now we know that Isabel is Civic Republic. We knew that before because of the symbol. We just didn't have, like, identifying names for the group. Come to think of it, maybe they should tell Jenny about the helicopter people, but only after they find a way to get their own people out before the CRM comes in and wipes them all out like they did in World Beyond. I had thought, and I could be wrong, that Jenny was in league with them before, kind of like how Jadis was, that they had something on them and were using Jenny's people. I thought that was why they're being so aggressive. I got the impression that she answers to them, and this is part of why she's so damned relentless, because they've got something on her. Ever since they stole that oil field, I thought there's something going on. Well, Joan has mentioned a good point. Jenny's group doesn't have any of the same look or equipment as a Civic Republic, so she was thinking they were separate, but now she's kind of not sure. Well, you know, if you stop to think of it, none of Jadis's people had the same look or equipment either. I don't even know if the rest of them were in on it. Maybe it was just her. Maybe she was, because she had that contacts, walkie-talkie and stuff hidden away from everybody. She wasn't open about it, so maybe the rest of them weren't in on it. I don't know. I'm just saying that would be a very powerful motivator for Jenny to be such a relentless asshole about everything, because she doesn't have a choice. Just a thought. Gonna try to go back to my notes and see what I can squeeze in. Okay, we were working on Rachel's bio. She's an executive board member of the DGC and won the DGA First Assistant Director Award for Best Young Adult Drama. Rachel has 58 assistant director and second unit director credits back to 1987, including Lost in Space, the 2018 reboot, Psych in 2012, Caprica 2010, Battlestar Galactica 2007, and Criminal Minds. She has 11 director's credits, including World Beyond. Tonight is her first work ever in the Walking Dead franchise, and I would like to give them some applause for their work on the show. Okay, World Beyond trivia, if we can squeeze some of it in. We're in a Nissan commercial still on my end, so let's try. Uncredited people on World Beyond tonight. Roger Dale Floyd plays young Elton Ortiz. Unknown actors play Sabina James, Samuel Abbott, Mikey Brown in a photograph, and Ashley Peters in a photograph. Deaths will be announced later. We're not back yet, so I'll keep going. First appearance of the character Lila, played by Natalie Gold. Lila is described as a mysterious figure operating in the shadows on behalf of the cause she believes in. She is already credited on the cast of episodes 5 and 6 of the show in some capacity, so we know she doesn't die tonight. This is the first appearance of Sabina James as a flashback, Samuel Abbott, and Mikey Brown and Ashley Peters in a photograph. Check-in, we're still on commercials, so let's keep going. More uncredited people, Joe Holt as Leopold Bennett, Danny Fish as Danny, Aislinn Freya Pax as Phoebe, archival footage, unknown as campus student. Okay, this may be more old notes. I really apologize for that. There seems to be some things not saving when I've been doing this, so I've got kind of copy-paste from last week and this week mixed together. I really apologize. Yeah. Oh, you know, because that is last week. Okay, never mind. I'm confusing myself, but we are back. I'll see you guys at break number 5. Don't be as confused as me. Thanks. Hey, guys, that's on me. I did not have my sound on. Sorry about that. Jones, still 5-5. I'm still at 6. And that's okay. Joan has mentioned that the other thing is Jada's group that I mentioned earlier wasn't nearly as big or organized as Jenny's, and the Civic Republic seems to be threatened by groups that show more advanced organization and technology, like the Omaha group and World Beyond. Yeah. Based on the last comment on the end of last week's episode of We Are the Last Light of the World, let's take a look at trivia. Death last week, Silas's mother was confirmed. The first and last appearance of the character Marco Voci, Barca, Danny, Phoebe, and the campus colony. The title of this episode, The Tiger and the Lamb, the notes say it refers to the poem Iris wrote that Silas has, but I happen to know that's a William Blake poem. Maybe Iris wrote it down. Maybe they don't know it's William Blake. You know, it could have been one of the things that got lost. It is revealed the Civic Republic has over 200,000 people who are members. This episode marks the first time Hope and Iris kill empties. A female student who had a speaking line during the scene where Silas was cleaning Leo Bennett's lab was left uncredited. Featured music from last week's episode of World Beyond. Queen of Hearts by the band Fucked Up. No, it's not a remake of the one by Juice Newton. Silas is walking through the hall while everybody stares at him. And then Magic Fingers by Peggy Scott and JoJo Benson, which is the scene where Elizabeth cries. 9:50, we have a promo for World Beyond, so we may be going back soon. So here's the rest of Season 1 of World Beyond. Episode 5, Madman Across the Water. Writers Rohit Kumar, directors Dan Liu, on November 1st. Episode 6 is Shadow Puppets. Writer is Maya Goldsmith, directors Michael Cutlets, yes, November 8th. 7, Truth or Dare. Writer is Eddie Gazalian. Director may be Michael Cutlets. That may be a boo-boo. I will get back to you. We are back see you guys at the next break. Okay, guys, it's 10:05, and we are transitioned from Fear to World Beyond. Joan ended on a 5-5, and I ended on a 6. We really didn't move our scores the rest of the evening. By the way, we do not have a show listed as following us tonight, so we're going to stay on a little bit longer with y'all tonight. So we might have some time to talk about a few things, kind of depending on what comes up, what's on people's minds. I want to note something in the last scene that this is a stretch, and we do know that these guys are famous for putting red herrings in stories, but they did make mention of how the Civic Republic refines its own fuel. And I have been positing that Jenny isn't necessarily part of them, but has an arrangement much more similar to what Jadis and the Trash Can Kids had, you know, where they perform a function, but they're not like real full members exactly. And because they mentioned refining their own fuel, and I think that has something to do with Jenny and them having taken over that fuel field thing, oil refinery. Joan mentioned those, quote, joint protection agreements weren't worth the paper they were printed on, though, were they, champ? Yeah, no, they certainly weren't. And she also says, you know, it would likely take an apocalypse to make me willing to go back to high school, either as a student or as a teacher. And she's starting this one with a 5-5. And we are back, so I'll shut up. See y'all break number two. Okay, guys, it's 10:17, and we are at break number two for World Beyond. Joan is inching up to a 6. What did I start with? Did I start at 5-5? She started with 5-5. What did I start? No. Ending at 6. I don't know if I rated it before. I was naughty. Joni, let me be naughty. I'm at 5.75, though. But I anticipate I'm going to go higher. And Joan and I have both remarked that we don't have any memory of them bringing up in the script that the girls were adopted, although I feel much better because I've really been strained. The two actresses really do not look like sisters at all. And I had been wondering what was up with that. I thought maybe they had separate mothers, but previous conversation in the storyline in the last couple of weeks made it clear they shared a mother, and I thought they might be adopted, but I never got any definitive commentary on it until tonight. So I don't know if there were hints about this in the script in prior weeks and it was just executed poorly, or if this is in fact the big reveal for that, although I find that kind of interesting. I should think they would want to make a plot device about why they were adopted, but Joan is lecturing me in the channel. No more missing scores, Missy, or else you'll what? Okay, what you gonna do? Come at me. I'm mad about it. Anyway, I'm having a little fun with Joan. Let's take a look at my notes real quick, see if we have time to get a little bit more out. I don't think I had finished telling you the upcoming episodes. Number 7, Truth or Dare. Writer is Eddie Gazalian. Director is Michael Cutlitz. And there was a miscommunication. We don't know whether Michael is directing episode 6, Shadow Puppets, or episode 7, Truth or Dare, or both. I'm going to try to find out which one of these might be the boo-boo. But that episode is going to air November 15th. Number 8, The Sky is a Graveyard. Writer is Elizabeth Padden, P-A-D-D-E-N. Director is Lauren Iaconelli. That's November 22nd. Number 9 is The Deepest Cut. Writer has not been announced, nor director, the 29th. And then episode 10, In This Life, writer is Matt Negrete, and director is Magnus Martins. That will be December 6th. So they're going to run a little bit over. It doesn't match up exactly so with Fear. So we'll have a couple of weeks after the 22nd where it will be just one episode in the evening. And that actually would be nice because I'm a bit exhausted with this doubleheader stuff. It's kind of fun to watch, but prepping for it's a little hard. All right, Apple TV commercial. Let's see if we're going back. And we're having Hardee's commercials. So other upcoming shows at NDB Media that you guys should pay attention to include Tuesday the 27th, 10 p.m., Fandom Access Weekend Review. Join the fantastic flounderings of Jamie, Karen, and AJ as they tackle another night of TV. Tonight's extravaganza, The Walking Dead World Beyond, next, and next is the show, and whatever else sounds intriguing. Wednesday the 28th will be me at the Rock and Roll Shrink radio show at 11 p.m. It will be episode 95. We have not yet picked a topic, but we will let you guys know. Thursday the 29th, Travel Itch Radio, 8 p.m. Here's an idea sure to add spice to anyone's bucket list. Take an African safari without sacrificing comfort or luxury. Opulent Africa, I will tell you about after the break. Okay, guys, it's 10:35. We are at a commercial break. I think it's number three. I am going to go to six here. Going back to conversations, Joan had not noticed that I hadn't voted, so I'm off the hook. But, you know, I confess, mea maxima culpa. Yeah. Hey, the gym looks like the prom after Buffy went through it. Yeah, I was actually, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, Joan. Actually, one of the things that I've been doing lately is binge watching some shows that I've played a lot, some of which I have on DVD, but my DVD player's on the fritz. And one of the ones I'm binging currently is Buffy. So that's funny because I'm coming up on the middle of season two where, you know, prom is going to be in a while. But anyhow, I mentioned, you know, prom in the gym, and I was laughing because Sadie Hawkins, they don't know what that is. And one of the things I enjoy about this genre, and when I say that, I mean more apocalypse stuff than zombies per se, just anything where you have end of the world and we hit the reset button, is I like to play with what of our culture that we take for granted as obvious might be lost in a disaster that takes decades to heal. You know, we still have vestiges of society, but, you know, there's an example that's very important to our culture. It's just kind of a cute school thing, but the concept of Sadie Hawkins dances. There's a whole generation of kids here that have no bloody idea what that is. So I think that's kind of fun to play around with. And Joan and I are also celebrating that Iris's walkie-talkie was... had corrupt batteries. They were, you know, they had the white stuff on them. So we were fussing in the other one where the walkie-talkie is always perennially charged up. And these are the kinds of things I would like to see more of, is these realistic issues. And, you know, the story doesn't have to be bogged down with minutia of every little thing that can go wrong, but I would really just like to see more of these problems being addressed. Because that's part of what makes the genre fun for me. You know, I want to see what they would do in a real world and not have everything just so happen to work out for them. Because it wouldn't. So anyhow, Joan and I are in agreement with that. I had not gotten to finish telling you about the shows that are coming up. But let me check in. How to Spot a Zombie. And it's a commercial with Joe Biden on. Okay. This is obviously some kind of Caligula trash. Trump 2020, get the fuck off my cable TV. I don't want to see that. I don't like to usually politicize this show, but I'm pretty confident that anybody who is favorable to this administration currently is probably not listening to my show. Pretty sure that's a thing. So, F you guys. Travel Itch Radio, let me finish. Opulent Africa. a 10-year-old tour company founded by British-born entrepreneur John Harvey, a.k.a. hashtag the Safari Guy, provides personalized itineraries to each of his clients, bringing them to remote regions of the continent on unforgettable wildlife tours. Here's the details from Harvey when he talks to Dan Schlossberg and Mary Ellen Nugently. Okay, that is the end of my notes. And it looks like we are finally going back in a hot second, which is very good timing that I don't have anything hanging on over the break. Okay, so I'm going to let you go, and I will see you guys at break number 6. Okay, guys, we are at break number 5 or 6, and Joan and I are catching up to each other because I'm going to inch up to 625 now. She's at 625. Joan apparently also has been binging Buffy and Angel over the summer with a cheap, no-frills DVD player. And she's saying, like, soda in cans and Sadie Hawkins. I'm kind of wondering why they had soda at all in a world like that. It'd be a pain in the ass to make it. Jonah says she thought it was funny that Iris never mentioned seeing soda in cans before. And both of us were kind of appalled by that last commercial. So sorry about that earlier, but that was really kind of offensive and abrupt. Okay, I was laughing because they were talking about ballroom dancing. I'm like, okay, Sadie Hawkins would not have been ballroom dancing. But it's amusing because, you know, these kids wouldn't know any better. They have the smallest of contexts, and they're all secondhand. So it's kind of funny to play with that space. Okay, so now I need to fuss. Why is there a plot device about a wolf attacking people? There are small exceptions. If the wolf is running out of food, it may get belligerent, or if humans have been feeding it and encouraging it to come around too much, or if it's wounded or possibly rabid. But I really don't like this whole just random wolf is randomly attacking people thing. They need to make it clear what's going on. This is a very poor research on wolf behavior, people. Get your continuity guys together. Okay, Joan is agreeing with me, and she was saying, what are the odds that the food is still any good that they're going after? And I said, infinitesimally small. So now we are at 625. It's 1049. And so I think we are pretty good for now. I have notes, and I don't have to leave you guys early. I'm so sorry about that. It's been very difficult for us to plan all this out because the network wasn't really clear with us exactly how the schedule was going to go until like the very last minute. And then they weren't clear that it wasn't just going to be opening weekend, that this craziness was going to be all of the episodes. And I know it's made planning very difficult for us and for you guys trying to listen. All right, we're in a Geico commercial now. Anything else that we want to fuss about with the wolves or anything, Joan? I pretty much said my piece already. I mean, people can Google this. Wolves generally, by and large, leave people alone. The Craft legacy. I haven't been a big fan of redoing The Craft as a TV show. I haven't been a big fan of that sort of thing. I know they did that also, I think, for Mean Girls or possibly Heathers or something like that. Not a big fan of doing all that. There are lots and lots of interesting new properties, scripts and things out there that people could do. I'm kind of watching this TV commercial. No, is this for Oculus or what is this? I'm not really clear. Something with Samsung. And just playing around with your TV and change how you see TV, Samsung. Okay, I'm not sure what's up. And here's a car commercial, I guess. All right, that's fine. Joan said the original The Craft movie wasn't that great either. I don't know. I certainly am not going to paint it like this was Oscar material. But it was cute for what it was. You know, it was all right. I kind of liked it. You know, Mr. We Are the Weirdos. It was very quotable. So, oh, now we're having a Kit Kat commercial. It's like all the commercials. Jesus, Pete. Okay. Well, at least we don't have to listen to a commercial about you know what. I will take my sufferance where I must, I suppose. Okay, finally we're back. I'll see you guys at the next break. Okay, guys, it's 10:55. Joan was saying with The Craft, slightly off topic, the movie was okay, just not enough to justify a sequel. Well, I don't know what you mean by sequel. I think this was a prequel as a TV series. And it already came out a while ago that I know of. And then she says, watch The Flare, kid. You could take an eye out. Yeah, you could, as they found out. And I love all that's deadly in the show. Just kill the empties already. Yeah, Silas has ish that he needs to work out. And I had asked why they left the prom area to begin with, because they were told to stay put. Joan said they heard a wolf in the grate or something, and so they left the area. Okay. It kind of wasn't clear to me, but I have to admit I was keeping, you know, one eye on the channel and one eye on the TV, so I might have missed something. But I think this may be possibly our last break, because we're getting close to the top of the hour, and this should be wrapping up shortly. I don't believe we have an extended episode tonight that I know of. So hopefully we will be getting to the ending part pretty soon. Sorry, I'm just stalling a tiny bit at the moment, to be honest with you guys. We'll have another doubleheader next weekend. That will be November 1st. Day after Halloween, All Saints Day. Yay! Day of the Dead, for those of you, not the George Romero one, the other one. And Jonah says she has a problem with kids who have never known any other world and are still so sheltered to not know how to take out the dead. Yeah, I got a serious problem with this. You know, you and I have fussed about this in earlier episodes. You know, without even growing up that way, Carl and Judith, at 5 or 6 years younger than these kids are, we're already little killing machines. So I don't understand why these kids are so helpless. But I think the answer is that the grown-ups saw fit not to teach them and to shelter them with stuff, and that's a statement on the grown-ups being idiots, that they thought that was better. Oh, interesting. Joan, I am about to go off the air, so we may cut off before this actually wraps up, but we're close to the end anyhow. So I think we've discussed everything. I appreciate you coming in. Thanks for everybody else who has joined us tonight, and we will see you guys next week.